Twilight Blood, Episode 5, Sunday, March 22nd, 2009.
You only got away because the power's a weak. I need the gold!
Twilight Blood, news and reviews of everything that goes bump in the night. Twilight Blood. This is episode 5 from March 22nd, 2009. My name is John Moore, and I'm your host. Today, we'll take a look at the latest news from the world of horror literature and film, listen to some music, take a look at Brian Smith's latest paperback, Soul Taker. We'll celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a leprechaun, revisit Hammer's Dracula Has Risen from the Grave, and hop on Clive Barker's Midnight Meat Train. Let's get it on. Natasha Richardson died in a skiing accident. I'll always remember her as Mary Shelley in Ken Russell's Gothic. If you haven't seen Gothic, you should. The trailer for Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell is up on Yahoo Movies. Check it out. It's freaking awesome. Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell also has a website now. You can find it at www.dragmetohell.net. There are pictures there as well as the trailer. The WB.com is developing an online horror series entitled Blood Cell with 60 Frames Entertainment. Jessica Rose, known for the Lonely Girl web persona she created in 2006, will star in the 18-webisode series. In Cell, a young woman must race against the clock to stop a sadistic madman after receiving a disturbing phone call from a friend in danger. No premiere date has been set. Valerie Cruz has scored a recurring role in HBO's vampire series True Blood. Italian archaeologists are excavating the 16th century grave of a type of vampire called a Shroud Eater. Shroud Eaters were believed to spread the plague. A brick has been shoved into the corpse's mouth to prevent it from feeding. Fangoria Comics, that's comics with an X, is releasing a series of comics written by Paul Naschy and featuring his werewolf character. The Fango site has some pictures posted, and the covers look pretty cool. Seven Arts Distribution has set a release date for Adam Garash's Night of the Demons. According to Box Office Mojo, the film will be hitting theaters on October 9th. Sean Connery's son Jason is directing a direct-to-video movie called The Devil's Tomb. It's set in the Middle East and stars Cuba Gooding Jr., Taryn Manning, Henry Rollins, Valerie Cruz, Ray Winstone, Ron Perlman, Bill Moseley, Jason London, and Zach Ward. Interesting. There's a lot of talk on the net about the casting and directors for the Reanimator remake. Don't let it fool you. At this point, all that talk is just a circle jerk. I have no doubt that the producers are talking a Reanimator remake, but from everything I've seen, there's nothing for sure about the project yet. The Fangoria is bringing their HorrorCon to the LA Convention Center in April. Guests include Sam Raimi, Tobe Hooper, Clive Barker, Herschel Gordon Lewis, Thomas Jane, Tony Todd, and more. David Hayter, the co-writer of Watchmen, is set to direct a werewolf flick called Slaughter's Road. Val Lewton's classic, I Walked with a Zombie, is being remade. Variety reports that Adam Marcus, who directed Jason Goes to Hell, is set to direct I Walked with a Zombie. This is bad news. Kane Hodder will be doing his own 3D movie called Black Friday. Naturally, it's a slasher movie. The trailer for Park Chan-wook's vampire movie Thirst has hit the web. Park directed Old Boy. This should be great. We'll have to wait for a dubbed or subtitled version, though. This trailer is in Korean, so I have no idea what's going on, but it looks cool. If you haven't seen Old Boy, get it. Get it now. The trailers for A Haunting in Connecticut look good. Let's hope the film is as good as the trailer. Speaking of which, Lionsgate is giving away tickets to the pre-screening of Hunting in Connecticut on March 25th. Head to break.com to see if you can get in and on the action. There's pre-screenings across the country in larger cities. The third Lost Boys movie is in the works because Lost Boys the Tribe was so fucking awesome. Not. Kenneth Branagh said he's attempting to secure the rights to remake Jock Jr.'s Night of the Demon. Interesting. Dark Castle Entertainment hired the director of House of Wax to direct another thriller called Unknown White Male. Johnny Depp is still attached to the Dark Shadows project, but no word if Tim Burton is still on it. They need to get this going before the Twilight movies start to bomb and take down all these other vampire projects with them. Dan Curtis, the man who created Dark Shadows, did a TV movie of the week anthology called Dead of Night from a script by Richard Matheson back in 1977. That movie's on DVD now, so you could pick it up. When you have Dan Curtis and Richard Matheson together, how can you go wrong? The Sci-Fi Channel is rebranding itself as The Sci-Fi Channel. That's S-Y-F-Y, Sci-Fi. Hey, I know it's dumb, but the S-Y-F-Y channel sucks anyway, right? And this week on DVD, Beast. There's Chuck Chiller's Witch's Valerie in her Week of Wonders and The Witch's Hammer, a two-disc re-release. Green River, which I assume is about the Green River Killer. Late Bloomer. Locusts, The Eighth Plague. The Snakehead Terror, which was a S-Y-F-Y movie. And you can check out The Tales of the Black Freighter from The Watchmen. And with that, I think it's time for a little break. This is Rising Conviction with War of Ghosts.
The Luck of the Irish is being packed and shipped to a little town in South Dakota whose luck may have just run out.
Was the trailer for Leprechaun, a 1993 movie that introduced the world to Jennifer Aniston and pointed out that maybe, just maybe, leprechauns were interested in something besides breakfast cereal. The plot of the movie is pretty simple. The leprechaun, played by Warwick Davis, wants his motherfucking gold back. It starts off with the leprechaun sealed away early in the film by Daniel O'Grady, who stole the leprechaun's gold. He pays the price, though, when the leprechaun pushes his wife down a flight of stairs. O'Grady manages to seal the leprechaun away in his basement by placing a four-leaf clover on a crate, and that negates the leprechaun's magic and renders him defenseless. O'Grady tries to burn the leprechaun up, but he has a stroke at the last minute and collapses after screaming, "Burn in hell, you little green bastard!" He's later taken to a nursing home, and the leprechaun is stuck in the crate in O'Grady's house. Now, 10 years later, a man named J.D. Redding shows up, and he moves in with his daughter, Tori Redding, who is played by Jennifer Aniston, and they move into the house. They hire some kids to help them paint, and one of the kids is autistic. And the autistic kid, whose name is Ozzy, hears the leprechaun screaming for help in the basement, and he releases him. The leprechaun then tells Ozzy that if he doesn't tell him where the gold is, he's going to bite Ozzy's shoe off bite Ozzy's ear off and make a shoe out of it. And Ozzy runs away, and he tries to tell other people that something's going wrong. But hey, let's face it, if you had an autistic guy come tell you that there's a leprechaun in your house, what would you do? Later on, Alex and Ozzy spot a rainbow above an old truck near the house, which is where O'Grady hid the gold. Ozzy bites a cold to try to figure out if it's real, and he swallows it. Alex wants Ozzy to keep quiet about the gold, thinking he can find a way to fund a brain operation to make Ozzy better. I guess Alex doesn't know very much about autism. The leprechaun bites JD's hand, and JD is hospitalized while the rest of them take one of the coins to a pawn shop, and the guy keeps it. When the two leave, the leprechaun sneaks into the store, gets his coin back, and then kills the pawn shop owner by crushing his chest with a pogo stick. So you got this image of this ugly leprechaun bouncing on a pogo stick. Then he's on his way back to the house. The leprechaun's stopped by the cops, and he rips the cop up. Then the leprechaun gets to the house, and he does a bunch of weird stuff. And one of the things is eating a cereal called Lucky Clovers, which is obviously supposed to be something else. And when the leprechaun sees himself, he screams. You know, I get the idea that the idea is the leprechaun's compelled to do certain things. So, So they try to get rid of the leprechaun, make him happy, try to give him his gold back. They find out there's a coin that Ozzy ate. The leprechaun finds that out, and he's gonna cut Ozzy open because he's not willing to wait until Ozzy poops the coin out. They end up finding a four-leaf clover and shooting it down the leprechaun's throat, and the leprechaun decays, falls down a well, comes back out of the well. In the end, they push him back in the well, pour gasoline in the well, and drop a match into it. The police get there the next morning, find a barely alive Ozzy. One officer looks down the well, and then you hear the voice of the leprechaun say, "I'll not rest till I have me gold. Curse this well, me and that me soul shall dwell till I find me magic that breaks the spell." So obviously they're setting up a sequel for Leprechaun, and sure enough, wasn't too long before they made a sequel to Leprechaun. They ended up making a total of 6 Leprechaun films. There's this film, Leprechaun, Leprechaun 2, where the action moves from North Dakota, the setting of this film, to Los Angeles. Leprechaun 3 was set in Las Vegas. Leprechaun 4 is set in space. The 5th Leprechaun movie was called Leprechaun in the Hood. And then the 6th Leprechaun movie was called Leprechaun Back to the Hood. And that was in 2003. That was the last Leprechaun movie. Until they reboot this series, I expect it to be remade any day now. Not a good movie, but a fun movie. In fact, the same thing could be said for any of the Leprechaun movies. They're not good, but they are fun. And I especially enjoyed Leprechaun in the Hood, to tell you the truth. There's some funny rap stuff going on with it. Ice-T and Coolio star in the movie. It's just a blast, you know. It's silly. All these movies are silly. They're dumb, but they're well worth your time. You know, go check them out and have fun with it. That's what I recommend for this. This is our St. Paddy's Day choice, is The Leprechaun. So enjoy it, you know, get it on, I think it's on Netflix Instant Watch. It used to be when there were first movies you could stream over the internet, Leprechaun was one of the main ones that you could see. So it's out there, it's available, you can get it from Netflix, you can, you know, if you need to, you can, I'm sure, go buy it at a pawn shop for about $1. Well worth your time. I say check it out.
They couldn't wait to get into the hotbed of pleasure. Charged up, sex-crazed women, driven by bizarre desires.
Get away from me! Let go!
Where violence begets violence. Where for just one night of twisted pleasures, men turn into beasts.
Soul Taker is Brian Smith's 5th novel. Jake McAllister returns to his hometown to help his younger half-brother. When he gets there, he has to confront his past, including an old girlfriend who he thought he would never see again. Brian Smith's work is known for its eroticism, and Soul Taker is no exception. There's a lot of sex in Soul Taker, and it's all very well done. There's straight sex, there's lesbian sex, there's no homosexual sex, but, you know, outside of a few horror writers, that's pretty much the norm. I'm looking at you, Clive Barker, with that. And so a lot of sex there. The sex in Soul Taker is not as disturbing to me as the sadomasochistic scenes in Smith's previous novel, The Queen of Blood, which I found pretty disturbing for the way it blended the sadomasochistic sex with normal sexual desire. And I didn't think that Queen of Blood was a very pleasant novel to read because of that. Smith does write very well, and he creates characters that you think, that you care about, you think about. I wanted to know what happened to Jake and to his brother, to his mother, to his girlfriend, to all these different people in the book. And for the most part, what happens is not good. His old girlfriend and the girl who's seducing Jake's half-brother is Alamia, and that is a type of vampiric sexual demon from ancient Greece. And Alamia typically will kill who she breeds with, kind of a black widow. In this case, the Lamia plans to victimize as many people in the town as she can in order to guarantee her longer life, although she's already very ancient. There's some crazy, scary shit in this book. If you're a fan of Twin Peaks or you're a fan of the films of Takahashi Miike, you'll love Soul Taker. There's a lot here that reminds me of that crazy kind of cinematic sexual horror that you see with those two creators. I think that Soul Taker demonstrates that Brian Smith has grown a lot as a novelist, and I expect great things from him in the future. It's significantly better than his previous novels were, and I imagine that his future novels are going to be even better. This is a leisure book, so it's in mass market paperback. You should be able to pick it up at a local bookstore, at Walmart, at your grocery store. If you can't find it locally, though, you can definitely get it from Amazon. So I say check it out. I recommend it highly.
No coffin could ever hold him. No door could ever bar his way. He is back from the dead.
Count Dracula is alive.
Dracula has risen from the grave. Dracula, the most fearsome name in any language, the most feared being ever to haunt the living.
A girl.
Maria?
Bring her to me.
During the hours of darkness, she must never be left alone.
Bring her to me!
Christopher Lee, Rupert Davis, Veronica Carlson, Hammer's new star discovery, Dracula's most beautiful victim. Dracula has risen from the grave to resist him is useless to rise against him is futile to know him is eternal damnation Dracula has risen from the grave.
You just heard the trailer for Dracula Has Risen from the Grave, the third installment of Hammer's Dracula series to star Christopher Lee, and the final installment filmed in Hammer's glory days of the 1960s. While Risen contains some of the most intense scenes of the Dracula series, it's far from the strongest entry in the series. Still, it ain't bad. It contains Hammer's patented mix of plentiful bloodshed alongside plentiful wenches in low-cut dresses, and it's a movie all horror freaks should check out. Risen opens with an altar boy discovering one of Dracula's victims stuffed inside the bell in the church steeple. Evidently, this is taking place during the era of Dracula, Prince of Darkness, when the Count was just having a great time killing the fuck out of everyone he could get his hands on. You gotta give it up for Hammer's Dracula. He knew how to kick ass. Now, this particular village is in the shadow of Castle Dracula, so even after the Count is dead, the villagers still dread the night and refuse to step foot in their church. The local Monsignor, who is some kind of boss priest, shows up and gets pissed about the empty church. Personally, I understand where the locals are coming from. Let's face it. If Dracula feels free to stuff his sloppy leftovers in the church steeple, then the church is obviously not a very secure place. Anywho, the Monsignor takes the local wussy priest and sets off to exorcise Castle Dracula. The wussy priest drops out, but the Monsignor completes his mission and slaps a big-ass golden cross right in the door to La Casa de Dracula. Kind of like when the Jehovah's Witnesses stick copies of the Watchtower on your door. In the meantime, the wussy local priest gets scared by thunder and falls down, cuts his head, and somehow manages to bleed in the spot where Dracula is frozen in the icy water he got dumped into at the end of Dracula, Prince of Darkness. And here we come to what I think of as the first weak point in the movie. Dracula is not in the grave. He's frozen in an icy stream. So the title of the movie is inaccurate. On the other hand, Dracula Gets Thawed Out doesn't sound as good as Dracula Has Risen from the Grave. So let's give Hammer a pass on that. Dracula turns the wussy priest into a slave and heads to Cannenberg, where he plans to kick ass and take names and take care of the Monsignor for putting that big-ass cross in his doorway. In Cannenberg, Dracula finds a new victim, the Monsignor's niece Maria, and she is a tasty bite indeed. One way that Hammer films got better in the 70s was that the girls in the movies got way hotter than they had been in the 50s and 60s. And this was the movie that started that trend. Veronica Carlson plays Maria, and she is one of the best-looking girls to ever appear in a Hammer movie. On the other hand, the hero of Risen, Maria's boyfriend, Paul, is one of the weakest Hammer heroes. Paul is kind of an out-of-place London swinger. He's not much of a hero at all. How are we supposed to buy this guy going toe-to-toe with the wolf on two legs that is Christopher Lee's Dracula? Nevertheless, Paul manages to stake the count. And here we run into weak-ass point number two. It seems that in this movie, Dracula won't stay staked unless you pray over him. What the fuck? Why have we never heard this before? Dumb, dumb, dumb. Anyway, in spite of the fact that he's just been fighting a fucking vampire, Paul is an atheist who can't make himself say a prayer. So the Count unstakes himself and takes off with Maria. He takes her to the castle so he can make Maria remove the cross from his doorway. Now, why didn't he get the wussy priest to remove the cross? Who knows? But we get a cool carriage race here with Dracula whipping his horses as the story moves back to the castle, so it's all good. Did you ever notice in Hammer films, Dracula likes to ride in carriages and manage the horses himself? He's like probably the only nobleman in all of Europe that runs his own carriage. Anyway, they get back to the castle. Maria removes the big-ass cross, and it tumbles down the ramparts and ends up sticking upside down in the dirt. Paul dukes it out with the Count again, and Dracula ends up falling ass over tea kettle onto the cross. The wussy priest says the magic prayer over Dracula, and Dracula dissolves into dust, and he won't be seen again until he tastes the blood of Dracula 2 years later, when Hammer plows full bore into the groovy 70s with a movie that's full of sex and violence. So, this isn't the best Hammer Dracula, but it's far from the worst either. Check it out, and enjoy the greatness that is Veronica Carlson's cleavage.
Do you know that bad girls go to hell?
Our songs for this episode were provided by the PodSafe Network at music.podshow.com. Our featured songs were War of Ghosts from Rising Conviction, who you can find at www.risingconviction.com. And of course, our closing song is Horror Movie by The Kits. You can find The Kits at myspace.com/The Kits. Want to let Twilight Blood know what you think of the show? Contact us by commenting on the site at twilightblood.com. Email us at twilightbloodpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave us a voicemail at 719-285-4718. That's it for this episode of Twilight Blood. Join us next week for more reviews and news that goes bump in the night. Thank you for giving us some of your time. This is John Moore for Twilight Blood saying,
I'll be back.